This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Ofnir Thing, and you're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Regardless of background or culture, dancing seems to be the universal language that crosses multiple barriers. And every now and then, there seems to be a new form of dance that captivates an entire generation. But no other dance will be as culturally significant or rich in history as this dance of the yesteryears. A dance known by many as swing. The swing era, as labelled by many, refers to the height of swing, where swing dance and swing jazz music filled not only the dance floors, but the airwaves of Americans prominently from the late 20s to the mid-40s. And to give Malaysians a slice of that era is Ming Pang from KL Swing.
I was working in Singapore and I wanted to de-stress because I was in advertising and I don't like the gym, so I looked for a swing dance class. Yeah.
So what was it about swing dance that, you know, pulled you in?
I really like the old movies, and being a designer, the look of the era, you know, is very beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So what made you, you know, start KL Swing in the first place?
Well, actually, I didn't grow up here. When I came back here about 7-8 years ago, I lasted about 6 months without dancing.
that's pretty long, you know, for a passionate dancer.
So I knew that it would be a lot of hard work, but the alternative is don't dance at all, which is unacceptable. Mm. So we started, yeah. Mm.
Let's look a bit deeper into the swing dance genre. You know, like many music genres, there are many sub-genres, and it's the same for swing dance, I'm assuming. That's like the Charleston, that's the Balboa, that's the Lindy Hop. Could you take us through a few of those different styles?
Mm-hmm. So the main dance that most people will dance around the world is the Lindy Hop. Mm-hmm. That's based on an 8-count. But the one that we ease people in with is a 6-count called the East Coast Swing. And the other dances, they all come from... So Charleston is a place and Balboa is a place.
Mm, so it's different...
Yeah, basically it was the regional dances.
I see.
And then whatever became popular and people came back to New York City or people came back to San Francisco or wherever, and then it gets popular in a bigger city and then it gets spread out.
Mm. So is there any particular style that KL Swing specializes in?
We usually mostly do stick to Lindy Hop. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is Lindy Hop something that's easy for beginners to learn?
Easy is relative. But we can get people to survive on the dance floor within about 8 hours of class.
Oh, 8 hours. Yeah. Mm. Because I've seen videos of, you know, swing dancing and it looks kind of technical as well. I mean, there's this whole swinging around of your partner and it looks quite hard to learn.
Mm. Well, we are not doing choreography most times. So when it looks complicated, it doesn't mean that the steps were thought in advance, mm-hmm. but it means that there's very good communication between the two dances.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So as opposed to normal dance where there will be memorized steps, swing dance, is it a free flow kind of thing?
Yeah, it's closer to teaching... This dance is closer to teaching a language than it is to like... The Macarena, like that, yeah.
Okay. Mm. You know, swing dance and swing music is something that, you know, has crossed ethnic and racial barriers. And it was invented, you know, during two of the world's most historic events, which were the Great Depression and the World War II. Mm. But when I've seen videos of swing dance, you know, there seems to be this infectious, happy mood around the whole dance.
That's testament to the people at the time. Our grandfather of swing, who has passed away a few years ago, his name was Frankie Manning. And he grew up poor and as a kid in Harlem in New York. So that's the black neighborhood in New York. And he was pretty much there at the beginning of the dance. So apart from the poverty and the economic downturn, but also great racism and segregation. Mm. But somehow, the Savoy Ballroom, which was a kind of Ground Zero for Lindy Hop was the most integrated place on earth at that time, right? So you could have big Hollywood stars who are white, they would come and dance amongst the African-American people, and no one cared. It was the one place no one cared what race you were. They only care whether you can dance or not.
Wow, so it's a dance that kicked off a revolution, would you say?
It's these pockets of very high creativity. When you're very creative, you cannot be looking at skin, you know?
Wow.
So it was a big deal, yeah. So it was a way for many African-American artists to come forward, just like Ella Fitzgerald and Duke Ellington. From the Savoy Ballroom, they get accepted as stars into the mass market, into the mass market.
So swing has, you know, played a big role in terms of musical history as well.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of that that specific era, I'm sure that fashion plays a big role in that era as well. So do participants dress up in a swing era specific fashion as well when they come?
Some people like to, so we really welcome that. That's very welcome. But if you don't like to, it's not a must.
And also when it comes to dancing, is it necessary for you to bring a partner along to dance? What if there's a poor guy left alone without a partner?
Yeah, you definitely don't have to come with a partner. It's fine to come on your own. What we do usually is we'll be rotating partners anyway throughout the class. Swing dance is a social dance, so you need to be used to and comfortable with changing and adapting to different partners.
When it comes to swing dance, you know, we got to touch on swing jazz music as well, which played a huge role. But which came first, the dance or the music? Was it a dance for the music or was it music for the dance?
It's definitely that the dancer is like another instrument in the band.
Of swing jazz?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So for most of the swing jazz music, you can dance to it. So which is different from the jazz that most people are used to now, that is meant to be performed and then the audience is meant to sit there and listen.
Because I read somewhere else that, you know, swing bands in the past used to also be known as dance bands.
Right, yeah. It was always meant for entertainment. So the counts are, the structure is very solid, so that dancers can always pick it up where they need to. We can be very improvisational inside the structure of swing jazz. Yeah.
So we have touched on swing dance, swing jazz music, but I heard from somewhere there's even this thing called swing slang. So do you have to practice the swing slang to be truly authentic?
You definitely don't. but it just helps to understand where the names of the steps come from.
Oh, so some names of the steps were actually slangs from the past?
Yes, so they just have very cute names. Yeah, there's some steps called Applejacks. They're called Rusty.
Applejacks.
Rusty, Dusty, Tacky Annies.
Wow, yeah. Everything rhymes, huh? So would you say that there are people that are enjoying this swing dance right now because they would love to, you know, temporarily relive an era that they never got a chance to experience?
Definitely, there is those kind of people that have, you know, they appreciate the look of an era, like me from a design point, or they appreciate the cinema of the era or the cars of the era. You know, there's a lot of ways to come at it now. What's good, was good, is good, always will be good. I think it's not a matter of nostalgia for a place that you haven't been to, you know, but it's just that, you know, we can take something and we can learn something from the past. We don't have to take the racism, of course, but there was a lot of good things that came out of the swing era.
So would you say that if a person enjoys swing dance, the person would automatically like absorb the culture as well, the music? Is it a whole package kind of thing?
You can do 10% or you can do 95%, you know, of that, of the look, you know, and the culture. Yeah. So as long long as you do the dance properly, then that's the main thing.
That's the main thing. you know when you're doing such a treasured and era specific dance, you know, you're really dancing an era's worth of history and culture. So do you feel any sense of responsibility on your shoulders at all, you know, to share this wonderful thing to fellow Malaysians?
Very much so.
Because it's not really a widespread kind of thing in Malaysia specifically, I would say.
We take our connection to the heritage of this dance quite seriously. So, like, together with my teachers from Singapore, we are having an event next year, and we will be bringing Frankie Manning's son. So Frankie Manning was the grandfather of Lindy Hop, and we'll bring his son. I got to learn from Frankie, and I really want that for my students, for the swing dance community here, that they get to see in blood and bone where this comes from.
Because it's such a rich dance, right? Like, even we were just talking about a few minutes back, and there's so much history, and it's just so rich culture that, you know, Malaysians should learn more about.
Yeah, I'm very inspired by the old-timers that I meet. Apart from Frankie Sanchez, there's another lady called Dawn Hampton, and she was a cabaret singer in New York in the 50s, and they have so much flavor, and she's so sassy.
Despite the age, yeah.
Yes, even Frankie, up until he lived up until 2 weeks short of his 95th birthday, and he was dancing almost until the end.
So it was a lifestyle and attitude kind of thing.
Yes, they found him after he had retired from the postal service in the 80s, and then revived his dance career. And he went around the world and showed us how to be a swing dancer.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, bringing it back to KL Swing, you know, I realised that your swing dance sessions are always conducted in rather unconventional places. The very first one was done in a hair salon, and currently it's being held in bars as opposed to, you know, the typical dance studios. I have some dancer friends that say they cannot dance without a mirror in front. They need to practice mirror. So the places that you select are rather unconventional. So is there any reasoning behind it?
Yes, I have chosen those places is to maximize the social factor. So who I want to come to dance is not those people who have been in front of a mirror since they were five. I want those people to start dancing that have never thought of themselves as dancer before. There's a lot of kind of viewpoint here in Asia that if you dance as an adult, then it must be at a competitive level or something like that, you know?
Or you're on drugs or something.
So I want it to be a social activity.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the whole culture of swing dance is very sociable thing, like you said. And it's quite different from our Asian culture. When it comes to Asian culture, the only thing that I can think of is probably lion dance. And it's like nothing really romantic about that. So, you know, was it difficult to, you know, sell the culture of swing dance to locals here?
Yeah, it continues to be difficult because this is not music that anyone heard their grandparents playing. This is not music that anyone saw their parents or their grandparents dancing to. So they can only guess at what it might be, you know, or what it might feel like. Until you try, it's very hard to tell you.
You got to experience it for yourself.
Yes.
Wow. For our listeners out there that are very interested in swing dance, KL Swing actually has a taster class as well, right?
That's right.
So that's for beginners like me, perhaps, to, you know, experience. So what day is that on?
It's every Tuesday at 9 p.m. We're going to start class. And then it'll be about 30-40 minutes class. Just enough to get you through to the end of a song. Enough moves to survive one song.
So how much would that cost?
It's 10 ringgit.
Pretty good deal. Yeah,
so we've priced it just so that people give it a go.
That was Ming Pang from KL Swing. To find out more information about their swing dance sessions and classes, head over to their website at klswing.com or their Facebook page at facebook.com/klswing. That's KLSWING. Coming right up, from the streets of Harlem, we take a look at something a little closer to home where we explore dancing in the shadows. Stay tuned, I'm Ofneel Thing. This is I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name is Ofneel Thing, and you tune in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Entertainment plays a huge role in our lives, no matter the era or medium. With the number of movies being released in cinemas, videos being uploaded online, or even plays and concerts that are being held, our current generation seems to be increasingly reliant on these modern forms of entertainment to keep boredom at bay. That sadly causes the more traditional forms of entertainment to be overshadowed in this technological age. However, where a shadow is visible, there's bound to be light in the horizon, and Fusion Wayang Kulit saw just that. Wayang Kulit, or shadow puppets, are a dying art form from the past that used to entertain many. Tin Toy Cho from Fusion Wayang Kulit is on a mission to revive this art form and have it kicking again. But instead of the usual traditional epics, it was the futuristic Star Wars story that carried the resurrection of this culturally rich craft.
My first exposure is when I start this project actually. Back in 2012, when we are invited to participate in an art exhibition. At that time, we want to explore something new, a new project. So we're thinking, hey, maybe it's time for us to do something about Malaysian culture. So I start looking around what culture to actually start with. Like, I'm not a big fan of batik or wayang kulit or silat or everything. So I look at wayang kulit. It seems to be easier for me to get in touch with because I'm a character designer. I create mascot. So, and each of the wayang kulit puppet, watak, is a character. So I said, hey, this is a character, so easier for me to express myself. So I choose that as a subject matter. Then I said, okay, how are we going to do? What type of wayang kulit we want to do? I mean, there are already many people who are already doing the traditional one. There's no point for me to do another one. So I said, let's think different. Do something really, really different. Taking the old traditional wayang kulit art form, let's join it with something futuristic. Something like with robots, droids and aliens and stuff like that.
Of all the abundant movies out there, Tin Toy could have chosen anything. But instead, he picked Star Wars. He shares with us the reason for that choice.
We picked Star Wars because we find that Star Wars is easier to recognize. A lot of people know Star Wars, and even my mom knows that Star Wars. So that is interesting. So that's how we started.
The shadow puppets cast their shadows upon a screen and come to life under the skillful hands of a Tok Dalang, also known as the Master Puppeteer.
Usually one group, they only have one Tok Dalang. Sometimes they have a Dalang Muda, which is an apprentice. So sometimes the younger apprentice will perform some portion, and then the main one, the Tok Dalang will do, or sometimes depending on how they want to. But usually it's one person who control. So wayang kulit usually is like this. The Tok Dalang will hold the puppet and play the puppet, and he is the one narrate. So actually he have two tasks, and all of them are by one person.
Being such a traditional art form where most young people would never have been exposed to, finding a master puppeteer proved to be a tougher than expected task. But sometimes all you need is a strong sense of determination and a little bit of luck.
As I said, the first time we do this is for an exhibition. On the July that year, we produced two wayang kulit puppet. But they are not real. Not done by traditional, we use multiple layers of cardboard joined together and laser cut it because we want to look for a Tok Dalang. So many questions, things like that, we can't find any. So we have to do it by ourselves. So we produced two puppet and exhibit. The response is quite good. Then 3 months later, a real Tok Dalang, his name is Pak Daim, sent me a Facebook message. and saying that, hey, I'm a tok dalang, you know, my name is Pak Dai, I want to come and see your work. You know, talk about technologies. You know, we've been searching, you know, couldn't find, but there's one who actually contacted me. Yeah, he happened to come, he need to come to KL, so I tell him, why is it Papika, you know, that's where the exhibition is. So he come and have a look, and it's kind of like a inspection, basically, because now I understand why, because he, as a master puppeteer, you know, 13th generation wayang kulit, Tok Dalang wayang kulit Kelantan asli, it is his responsibility to make sure that people are doing it correctly, you know, things like that. So same thing, mine, he come and have a look, you know, and ask question, and he asked me something. He said, okay, now you have done two puppet, what are you going to do? I said that, well, I have a dream. I want to actually make a Star Wars inspired wayang kulit live performance. Then he said, okay, yeah, in that case, what you say, what you plan to do is correct. Because for wayang kulit, in order to actually categorize as a real wayang kulit, you need to have five layers. The white screen, the light, the puppet, the master puppeteer, and the musician. With this combined and you play it, that's called a real wayang kulit. Let's say you take wayang kulit puppet, you scan it in computer, and you do an animation using Flash or whatever for a TV series. That is wayang kulit inspired project. The real wayang kulit is performed by Tok Dalang. So he said, what I'm planning to do is correct. Then he's excited about that. No, at least he's relieved, I should say. Then talk, hey, I'm looking for Tok Dalang. You are Tok Dalang. Why don't you, we work together, you know, after months of discussion, you know, he finally said, okay, let's try. I find out that it is his mission also, trying to let more people know about wayang kulit. He's been trying ways and this and that. Some work, some doesn't work. So he's always looking for a way. But what we are doing is a way that the teenagers like it. So he see that might be the way. But, well, you know, being a traditional master puppeteer, he have his role. And we cannot simply say, hey, let's do star thingy, you know. So you have to know, is he doing it right? Is this correct? Is that correct? So that is where the discussion, serious discussion going through, like, you know, from the puppet making down to storytelling, down to what equipment to use, you know. Oh, we take 1 year.
With many kids not being as exposed to our traditional arts and crafts heritage like we should, Tintoy shares the importance of targeting a younger demographic.
Well, for me, when we started Fusion Wayang Kulit as the first project, which is Peperang Bintang, the Star Wars inspired wayang kulit, we didn't really think too much. It's basically art project. Hey, look at this cool project we have done. But the response is good, and then we get to know Tok Dalang, then we want to do more things. Then it become something is more prominent, more real. Our target audience is literally teen. Like maybe teen could be like 18 to 40, but or kids or whatever, is fall under the target audience that we're trying to capture. Because these are the group that don't know or don't like, or for whatever reason don't have any contact with wayang kulit. When we begin, our target audience is not those people who already like wayang kulit. They like it, then it's good they already like it. It's the other group that don't like, you know. So this is what, and that's why I choose something like a sci-fi, science fiction thing. You know, that thing is relevant to the team. They look at it, they understand. When we have our exhibition or performance, some of them came with lightsabers.
Wayang kulit may not be an art form for everyone, but once the art form and tradition is understood and appreciated, it has this tendency to grow on you, as it has for Tintoy.
Not by choice. It developed gradually, slowly. Because if you don't do something, this art is dying. And then you get to know the Tok Dalang, the group, and you listen to their struggle, you feel like, maybe we can do something, and I have done something. You know, maybe I should continue doing it more.
With Star Wars being a film with prominent characters and modern signature get-ups, Fusion Wayang Kulit wanted to capture the essence of it all while maintaining its tradition.
That one is go through a lot of studies, you know, and discussion with crash course, I should say. When we design a character, I'm actually trying to have a different point of view. Like, all the characters there are done in the Malaysian style wayang kulit, or more towards Kelantan. The hand, the head, the posture, the things like that. I try to do this rather than, hey, let's try to actually take it and turn it into something so totally different. I want to preserve it. So preserve it by how? By looking at the study, the design of the traditional wayang kulit. So when we actually have, like say, combined, let's say for Sang Kalaveda, you know, that's a character for Daveda. We combine, see which part is suitable, then we combine. Let's say there are some part in wayang kulit, let's say the hand if come with a claw, that's mean this person is a warrior. The other one is come with very curved, very thin hand, that's mean this is a, he's not a warrior, prince or gentle person. Mm. So these are the element or design element that we actually look into and try to mix. And whenever we mix everything, that's why it's good to have Pak Dai on board. That's mean we are doing it properly. So I sent to him to have a look, email, and say, then he tell me, okay, well, this one is correct, this one is not correct, you know, things like that. But may I add something? I am not trying to do something against the traditional. You know, there are many groups, you know, who actually preserve the traditional one very well, which I totally salute them for doing so. What we are trying to do is basically another way, you know. It's not the way, you know. It's just another way try to promote wayang kulit. The way I look at it, the more people try more way to promote wayang kulit properly, the better wayang kulit will be. And we are all these are actually same, Malaysian wayang kulit. This character ideally is around 3 weeks. We design, send to him, then he need to know what is it, he tell me feedback, and when it's okay, then we design the pattern, bunga-bunga, that one take a lot of time. Construct is around 2-3 days, depending on size. Let's say for a puppet, mostly it's 2-3 days. How we make, they actually use a special nail and a hammer. Each of the hole is actually hammered out. If I'm not mistaken, it is, when you do it that way, you do it pure. That means everything, you know, you do it rather than try to shortcut, no, by having cutting. So there's no shortcut. The traditional way, you have to use the hammer and nail, and the nail is so small. And each of them, you know, just knock. That's why I said 2-3 days. We have produced around 14 puppet for that. But again, when you do for performance, you know, you need to have 2 set. Because sometimes in the middle of performance, the hand came off, which happened, you see. Yeah, it's a true story, it happened. So you have to have 2 set standby just in case. Oh, when that thing happened, you know, my eyes feel like when it came off, like, oh my god.
With the attention that the Peperangan Bintang Wayang Kulit received, soon after, more characters were called on to be made as well.
Oh, we were invited by a friend to actually collaborate this in conjunction with one of the DC superhero runs, the marathons in Penang. So we are fortunate to actually get invited by the organization, you know, to actually, let's do something about Malaysian things about this wayang superheroes. And me being the one actually doing wayang kulit is a good fit, you know. So that's why we actually invited to actually produce a set of DC superheroes.
Fusion Wayang Kulit has been gaining the attention it deserves, especially for preserving the dying art form by, you know, infusing new traditions to the old. He shares with me some of his plans for the future.
For Fusion Wayang Kulit, it is our mission to actually keep on showing people about what this art form can do. You see, many people have a misperception about wayang kulit is too strongly associated with Sri Rama. Sri Rama is just one of the story. So we are actually trying to tell people, hey, look, wayang kulit is an art form. I actually use it to do some Star Wars inspired wayang kulit, the DC wayang kulit. We done Bruce Lee, we have done Santa Claus, we did Halloween and Chinese New Year stuff. So we are actually trying to change people into the breakaway from the mindset of Sri Rama only, you know. So it's an art form. And because of art form, it will become flexible. It can be changed into this and that. So it will become more popular easily.
That was Tin Toy Cho, founder of Fusion Wayang Kulit. To find out more about their unique brand of wayang kulit, check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/fusionwayangkulit or on Instagram at fusionwayangkulit. That's FusionWayangKulit. We have come to the end of our show this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we are reachable on Twitter at BFM Radio or write in to us weekend@bfm.my. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Ofnir Ting. Join us again next week for another exciting episode of I Love KL on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.